Take a look at the Gemara in Daf Ayin Basement Aleph. We'll read the Mishnah in a sec. We'll read the Gemara in a sec. The truth is, this sugya of Priyas Rosh and Rosh Parua and women covering their hair, it's a funny sugya because the Rishonim don't talk that much in terms of the world of Lumbus. It's very difficult to pull out from the Rishonim anything. They don't really talk that much, don't say that much. The Shitas are not really well articulated. They don't give svaras for the Shitas. It's just like so many, it took me, I said in sugya, for hours and hours into it. Hopefully what I'm going to do is correct. It's going to be a little more speculative than usual, and none of the acronyms, like, I'm working on my own over here. I once had a Rebbe who said, if you don't pick up Derech HaLimud, see, your Shas looks like Swiss cheese. I'm like, I think what he meant was that, you know, that Swiss cheese is delicious. No, what he meant was, that if you... the Rishonim is supposed to help you get a picture of the Gemara. This approach, that approach, different type of stuff. You only bank on the Rishonim. So sometimes the Rishonim, they don't always deliver the goods. They don't always, they don't comment on every sugya. And here's a sugya where there's very little in Rishonim. There's very little juice in Rishonim. But we'll try our best to figure out the juice nonetheless. Let's take a look. So again, it's a little bit speculative. Hopefully, maybe a little bit more open and tied down, but I do think that it's the best I got. So again, people have horrors and comments, but I'd love to hear it. It's a lot more of my own as opposed to what the Achronim have. Usually the whole world learns so just for the most part similarly. It's tough to find. I listen to two or three Shiurim on the internet. I looked at three or four Achronim who like summarize sugyas, and to be honest with you, I was not impressed with anything I saw or heard. So I have much less. Much smaller shoulders to stand on in this sugya than in general. To try to see as far as I can, but into the sugya, let's take a look. The Mishnah in base says as follows: Eliyot and Shlomo Ksuvah Uberach Das Moshe Yehudis. If a woman violates Das Moshe or Das Yehudis, so you can divorce her and you don't have to give her a ksuba. Basically, Das Moshe Machilas Hashenim Usher Misham Nida Velo Kotz Lachal Vinoderes Vein Makayemes. Those are the following four examples the Mishnah has. Basically, that's Yotze Verosha Parua, which is Arake. She goes out with her head not covered. Betova Beshuk, Medaberes, and Koladam. She lifts up her arms and her sleeves come down, and she speaks to people. And Mishnah has a few other examples. Take a look at the Gemara down at the bottom of the page. Ayin Beis Manal. Basically, that's Yotze Verosha Parua. Says the Gemara, Rosha Parua, Daraisahi. Rashi explains. The Raisi, the Milo Kari Ladas Moshe. Rashi believes Das Moshe is tantamount for the Raisa. Das Yudas is tantamount for something else, Mistamat the Rabbanan. And therefore, how could you say that it's Rosh, that it's Das Yudas to cover her hair, isn't it Das Moshe? Furthermore, but Tanabe Rabbi Shmuel, as Haral of Nos Yisrael Shalom Yeti before Rosh the Raisa. Furthermore, Rabbi Shmuel says it's an as Haral. It's a warning. Exactly what to do with that word. And they shouldn't go up. Haruah Slingway answers, Kolsa Shapir Dami. In other words, if she is wearing a kolsa on her head, which is some type of hat, maybe like a fishing net, maybe it's filled in, exactly how much of a hat it is not so clear. And that's the Hudas, people kolsa Nami Yasa. If she's going out publicly into the shuk in a public marketplace, etc., etc., so Daraisa Kolsa Shapir, Midrabanan or Das Yehudis, whatever it is, you require Kolsa as well. Okay. Exactly how the Gemara learns out the drasha from Para as Rosh Haisha, we'll get back, we'll see in a second, 2 days in Rashi. But from this Gemara, the conclusion is Midaraisa or Das Moshe, she has to cover her hair on some level. And then that's Yehudis, or maybe even the Rabbanon, when she has to cover more or all of her hair. We'll figure out exactly how much that works out. Then the Gemara just has another little piece over here, which is worthwhile, both in terms of the lumps a little bit, and definitely halacha ma'isa. Am Rav Asi, Am Rav Yochanan, Kolsa Imbo Mishim Parua Rosh. Rav Asi says, in the name of Yochanan, that Kolsa has no Parua Rosh at all. Haviba, they said in it, Rav Zeira Hecha, Ilem of the Shok, that's Yehudis. If it's referring to a shuk, then what? That can't be the case because that's the hoodis. Velavachotzer imkain lohanach devas avma binu shir shevis tachas bal. And if it's in your house, then what? In your chatzir. So the simple pshat the way Rashi and Tosfos learned is that what? Yeah, you get, it's overbearing. You know, it's not that it's us, if it's overbearing. It's pashat that, what's it called? It's overbearing that she shouldn't be able to do anything. It's not a public place, but not a private place. It's somewhere in between. That's, I think, the Ritva learned there's three categories. It's public, where she has to, Das Moshe and Das Yehudis. Then you have this moderate place, where all there is Das Moshe. And all you need is that it should be a house. And then in your backyard, where you don't need anything. Okay, well, maybe we'll get back to that a little bit. That's the Gemara over here. The question becomes, this halacha of upara es rosh ha'isha, this chi of daraisa, to not have a woman's hair uncovered, it's learned out from Sota, that they uncover the Sota's hair, is mashma that what? Her hair was covered beforehand. Now the truth, before we even get to Rashi and analyze this specific drush, so the Gemara Brachos makes a different comment which is worthwhile to know. Anyone see the Gemara Brachos? Right, the Gemara is going through it, says, that called the Isha Erva, the woman's voice is heard, it's Erva. The Gemara says, even if you look at just the tefach of a woman, maybe, first Gemara says, maybe it's looking at a tefach of a woman is Erva. The Gemara says, everyone knows that. In other words, the Gemara says, we're really talking about Isha Sish, it's referring to your own wife when you're saying Shema. Then the Gemara says, called the Isha Erva, is that referring to only saying Shema or not? Unclear, not close to Shaman actually. Then the Gemara has something else. A shuk of an isha is erva. A shuk is part of her leg. It's unclear from her hip to her knee or from her knee down to her shin. As to how much of a woman's leg she has to cover. We pass the lakula like the Mishnah Berurah, she only has to cover down to her knee. Then the Gemara says, se'er ve'isha erva, her hair is erva. And therefore you should take kriyashma in the presence of a woman whose hair is uncovered. Whether that's married woman, no, not married woman, discuss it, Mishonim. But it's worthwhile to point out that Gemara exists, that her hair, her star, the seir, is Erva as well. Now the real question, which I think has to be dealt with, and here's where I would have expected the Rishonim to come through for me and clarify it for me, fortunately, I'm doing work on my own, I would have loved to then have said, are these two Gemaras the same halacha, just manifested in two different places, or are they two different dinim? Meaning, what the Gemara from the same Brachos is clear that there's a din that her hair is erva. But what about this din over here of Hara es Rosh Ha'isha, the din of Das Yehudis? Is that because it's erva? Is the reason why women marry, you can divorce your wife without a ksuv is because she walks around with her erva sticking out, i.e. her hair? Is that the case? Or is this an independent halacha? That's why it's in a different mesechta, maybe. This is a separate halacha about marriage and divorce and suvas, and totally separate from erva. This is an independent heightened level of tzniyus, maybe required for married women, maybe required for other people, I'm not sure exactly who. But this is not, per se, the same din as erva. I wasn't sure myself if this gemara was predicated on that gemara or not, and I haven't had any time to address it directly. But I was curious as that was what I thought a lot of the things should depend upon. In other words, if I want to understand why it is a married this married woman who walks out with her hair uncovered and violates Das Yehudis, Das Moshe, Mamela, I mean divorce without a ksuva, well, who told her to cover her hair? The answer is Uparas Rosh Ha'isha. Is that because of erva, or is it a special desert consequence of something else? The truth is, from the Gemara itself, you don't know. I thought it may depend upon Rashi. Take a look at this Rashi over here, Azhara. Who wants to read the Rashi? Okay, go for it, Peter. Exactly. In other words, what's the first thing he's saying? It's an Azhara. What's the Azhara? What's this din? Just like she was, just like. We do to her mita k'neged mita, just like she did what? She went out of her way being disgusting, getting hana. So too, we are disgusting to her. Mechlal to us, therefore it's us for her to do, for what? What? Therefore, in other words, me'avina l'hachim l'novala, mita k'neged mita, k'mosha asta, l'zana, l'zana t'alvala, in other words, that's what she's doing, so therefore we take it off of her. But in other words, just like she did something usher by being by being Mizaneh, by being Menuvaldik, etc., etc. So who's going to go to take off her hair? Take off her hair covering. Inami is the second day, which is what? Continue with Kiva? Yeah, Rashi likes the second day, which is what? It's not a midah connected midah, not punishing her, but rather just the fact that we take off her hair is mechlal, that usually she should have her hair covered. In other words, here it's not parua, which is mash, but usually it is parua. Now the question is, what's the difference between these 2 days and mash? So the truth is, Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks, he explained, he thought the difference was something. What do you think the difference is on your own?
Well, maybe the second one is
an error. I wanted to go the other way, the first way. I think Rav Moshe did nothing, but I want to say after. Rav Moshe thought that it depends. This question, is it a lab? Is there an issur for women to have her, every time a woman goes out with her hair uncovered, she violates a lab? Is it an issur? That's one shot. Alternatively, it's not that there's a lab, but rather, if she covers it, then she's Makayim a mitzvah. Well, is this covering her hair a positive thing to do, or is it a negative thing if she doesn't do it? So Moshe thought that may depend upon these two lashonos. The first pshat is it's mechlal the aser. It's actually aser. It's that we're doing something that, you know, it's not mashma that she should. The second pshat that Moshe wanted to say is upara mechlal the hushayt the lav peru hushmamina in derech benos tzur l'teis peru's rosh. In other words, they should be doing it. It's the right thing to do. It's the positive thing to do. Well, this is the first day, I believe it's a lav. That's what Moshe Feinstein wanted to learn. He thought it was this is good for the shayt. In other words, is it a lav or is it a naseh? I hear that. I want to take it one step further. I thought maybe even one could suggest it went back to our initial shayla. Meaning, is it erva or is it an independent halacha? According to the second day in Rashi, it doesn't sound like it's erva. It sounds like it's an independent halacha. In other words, the Bnei Yisrael should have their hair covered. According to the first daya, it's, you know, we're doing to her, you know, something manoeuvred. We're making it worse. It's unbelievably not tzniut. It's not a heightened level of tzniut, which is the second shot, but rather it's really hurting the first. The truth is, the Ritz, when he quotes Rashi, switches the order. Says the second shot first, and the first shot second. When he quotes the first shot, which he quotes the second, he calls it. He goes, it's a problem of preface. And I thought that may have been matched in the same type of way. In other words, maybe my question may again, it's speculative, but may depend upon these 2 days in Rashi. According to the first day in Rashi, the Gemaras are very much linked. The reason why a woman should have her hair covered, especially if she does, is erva, like the Gemara Bracha says. And it's erva, and it's pre-tzitzik, etc., etc. While the second day in Rashi is to have less of a focus on it being so pre-tzitzik and erva, but rather, this is the way they go, is if it's a mitzvah that's safe to do it, it's a positive thing they should do. And if that's the case, it's not per se erva, and this is a separate halacha from the erva Gemara, but rather it's a heightened level of tznius, it's a heightened level of religious sensitivity, it's an extra bonus tznius that maybe married women should take upon themselves. In any event, this major question that I opened up as to what's the relationship between the two Gemaras, are they linked or not linked, may depend upon this machlokis 2 days in Rashi, specifically the way Rav Moshe Feinstein learns it, but even without the way Rav Moshe Feinstein learns it, maybe just my own shot, but that may be potential not for me, the number one discussion that I have. The second potential nafkamina, and this is, I think, much more dealt with in the poskim, is depending on whether or not it's built, a second potential nafkamina, as to whether or not it's created to cover her part of the ocean, it should have faith upon the air, or not, based upon what type of woman it has to do. For example, is it a halakha that it's a bonus means for married women would apply only to married women? However, it's a halakha about air, well, just like, you know, Kol B'isha Erva most likely applies to married and single women alike. And just like Shuk B'isha Erva most likely applies to married and single women alike. And just like, you know, Tefach Mugul applies to married and single women alike, I would say if it's this Gemara is based upon Erva, it should apply to single women as well. And the truth is, that's a simple reading of the Rambam, the Torah, and Shulchan Aruch. All three of them said, Echa Pnuya V'Echa Esh Esish, they don't determine what they're talking about. They all say Kipshuto. It's referring to a penuyah. And there are some achronim who have to take this in the most serious, the most literal way. The Bach says, according to the Torah, that's what it seems to be saying. I don't know if at the end of the day, you know, it's a difficult chiddush, you know, that penuyah has to cover her hair, especially because for all of world history, No one did that. But if one would take the Rambam Torah and Shulchan Aruch on the most simple, literal level, they would conclude that a Pnuya has to cover her hair as well. That, I thought, would be very indicative of that. It's the reason why she has to cover her hair is based on air, just like she has to cover her shuk and she shouldn't be singing, so too she should be covering her hair as well. Alternatively, if it's a heightened level of tznius, there are other achronim out there, and we'll get in a second, we'll get to all the achronim in between. There's a whole other group of achronim out there who believe that the reason why, you know, it doesn't apply to married single in life, but only married women. I think the clearest formulation in the other sheet that I saw is down to the Shulchan Aruch, the new Shulchan Aruch, the black spitzed up one, is the sheet that I saw there. The Rosh Pina Ikbe Havai. I don't know who he is, I'm older than that, I've never heard of the Shulchan Aruch, but he is red. I don't know if the black Shulchan Aruch. And he says that at what point in time does a woman have to cover her hair? He says when she's in Arusa, she doesn't have to. Even she, only until she's a Ba'uba, only until she's a Mesua. Even without Bia. Why? Because it's the halacha from her too. If she's an Arusa, she gets a 200 If she's a Ba'uba, she gets a, what's it called? He says it's based upon the Mesua, and he links it up to. He links it up to what's it called? The Tzuva. He says if she's nibble afterwards, she gets to check the Tzuva, but she's nibble before she wants to check the Tzuva. Or in other words, he thinks it's 100% dependent upon the Tzuva. And I thought this far was there's a heightened level of Tzuva, which is mandated for a Tzuva, for a Tzuva, for a married woman. At what point in time, specifically when she's married, and this would seem to be, again, from Arab mothers, very little room to make Tzuva. We'll give a whole Tzuva. Second. And I thought potentially the shita of the Rosh Pina Ikmeatzom, maybe since he links it to specifically a ksuva, again, you know, how much a ksuva is, at what point in time, and since it's especially nesua, it depends, in other words, it's a halach and her a heightened level of status, a heightened level of status for married women. And I thought that may even be why it's telling in Ksuba, specifically because it comes out of the Gemara Ksuba. It's over here. There's the whole story of that much of that unison. If she violates it, she has a lower Ksuba. Again, it's what we expect her to do. We expect her to be, once she gets married, at the heightened level of Tzniyas. And if she doesn't live at the heightened level of Tzniyas, so we lower the Ksuba, because I thought that was a little bit linked up to that. In any event, And this break-off sheet does that as well. There are other posts in that, the Kudeg and the Chavis Yair, who believe in Rabbi Yitzchak, the Ach, the brother of Bataz. These Achronim believe that she has to cover her hair even from the time of Arusa, not just from Eris and not just from the Suin. And again, I used to believe Mishmur says that as well. Okay, so to the Kudeg and the Chavis Yair and others. In any event, they believe that it's from the time of Arusa. They believe not from the time of Nisua, which to me it sounds like a technical machlok, from the time of Nisua, from the time of Erisin, but it's a heightened level of tznius that we expect from married women, and therefore it would not necessarily apply to a penuya. Two small comments on that, two small technical points, then we'll take around the question. Number one is whether or not that be the case with Man Hazeh is unclear. In other words, even though, because it used to be an Arusa was separate from her husband for 12 months, so it could be that 12 months we wanted to, her to act as if she's a married woman. But now or a day, when the Erisin period is just a half hour, 20 minutes, it's not a long time. You know, we do the Erisin and the Suin together under the Chuppah. There are those Achronim, I think the Tshuva has a discussion about it. There are those Achronim who believe, even according to the Achronim, like the Kiveg or the Chavis Yar, who would mandate her to cover her hair from Erisin, nonetheless, it might not necessarily be needed. In any event, what we saw until now is the second potential Nafkamina. I guess the first Nafkamina, this major question we're asking is whether or not that's Moshe. Is it based upon Erevah or not? So one difference maybe in 2 days in Rashi. The second one maybe when she has to start covering her hair. Again, if you take the Rambam and Torah Shulchan Aruch most literally, then she has to do it even from a very young age. The simple shot in the Rambam for Shulchan Aruch. Now, most folks are going to try to play around with that, but then you have other folks, but that doesn't for that to mean. And then you have over here the sheep over here. That doesn't depend upon Erevah, but rather it's where maybe especially married women, and we spoke about Erisin and so that's what I'm saying both ways. one more little comment about that. Yeah. However, most hosting don't take even the Shulchan Aruch from the Torah, and even the Rambam, but for sure the Shulchan Aruch on a literal level. They say when they use the word Panui, they mean something else. They don't mean a young girl from the age of 3 or from the age of 9 or from the age of 12. That's not what they mean. Rather, it's only a married woman. And Achron or Medayik, I think the Vilna Gaon makes a deal from the Gemara. The Gemara's lashon is Benos Yisrael, not Isha. In other words, the Rav Shulchan says that as well. But Benos Yisrael would be Medayik which way? We can indicate which way. What? Yeah, why? I never say that. Benos Yisrael, maybe Benos Yisrael would mean, I guess Isha would mean all women. Well, Benos Yisrael would mean, I don't know what. Hold up on that grub view. The grub makes a difference like that. I don't know if I understand it right now. I'll look at it again later and see what we can do. In any event, there are other sheikhs in Poskim out there, which I'm going to discuss in a second, as well as even Poskim. It's difficult to believe that this is incorrect. Wait a minute, he said what? Referring to? Even young girls as well. That makes sense. That's a big difference. So, that's a big making jump out there. I saw the growth deal. I forgot. The growth deal would be like the Rambam, Torah, and Rambam, where they choose up the Mashmal. I guess it's the way that the Gra understands, and that applies to all women. And that's why that's a deep notion of Benos Yisrael, both the Isha, the grown woman, the Trova, the adult, but Benos Yisrael, the young woman, the Jibichai. However, most posted. And therefore, if it's a heightened level of Tzvias, we understand it very well. If it's a dinner of Das Moshe, and Das Yehudit, what the din is, it's a heightened level of Tzvias, and I understand it very well. Well, it's an Erev, it's something to it. However, if it's a Halakha and Erva, well, then the question becomes, if you take the Tzvias approach like the way the Gros, the Rambam, the Moshe, and the face value, which is that even a young girl has to cover her hair, well, that's an extreme shita. However, there are many posting out there who do believe this Gemara is based upon the Gemara in Brachos. That the reason why that use and that approach exists is because of the era, but they're going to have some type of middle approach, which is going to be single woman don't cover their hair. And what I might do is figure out how those postings learn that. Let's figure out the questions briefly before we figure out how, even if I believe the Gemara is based upon this Gemara, is based upon the Gemara in Brachos. It really is one thing about Erva. Nonetheless, you may not have to conclude that all single will cover the bad question. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1.
And why is it maybe
the Chiddush is that it is Erva. You know it's Erva otherwise. That becomes my first. Maybe.
Why
would
you
say
we have
Brachos? What?
Why would you
say we have Brachos? Brachos is some. Yeah, Shir is a pasuk from Sukkot, like a master or something. Could be that the Gemara there is talking about that Yehudit and it's sending it it's master to the Rabbanan or something.
What's the
last question?
Yeah.
Of the two and Shulchan Aruch,
how do they
say that Pnuya
doesn't mean
Pnuya? Echad, Pnuya, Be'echad, Eshetesh, Chayavim, whatever. How can anyone learn otherwise?
What would you say Pnuya?
We'll get to it in a second. Hold on. There's potentially two sheep in that part of the book, but we'll get to it in a second. Yeah, great.
Yeah, what I thought the difference between the Gemara and Brachos and Gemara Sota is I thought it was pretty clear. The question once I saw, I think it was Mishnah Berurah who said Brachos and Sota.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little bit clear, but that I think it was the Mishnah Berurah said that when you're saying Kriyat Shema, so you can't even see your wife's hair uncovered.
Right.
So that really clicked for me in the end. That difference between the Sota and Brachos, it really kind of is like an extra sneeze that when you're doing the Davar the Kedusha, like Kriyat Shema, then you can't see even. Like
even
normally,
even
your wife. I thought it was a double of a kedusha when you're doing something kedusha dick, and then when you're doing something a normal life.
Definitely are two things. Definitely, I'm with you. I just want to know if walking around, in other words,
because like it specifies kriyat shema, it's doing something.
You like learning after 2 to 3 feet.
Yeah.
Okay. I hear. Yeah.
Somebody says.
Good. It could be. Well, see, oh, see, David's motion does touch on that. Correct. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm not going to problem. Yeah.
About the irresolvability
of reality, why should it have to be? What's the reason why it would have to be? Do you have any reason why women have to, like, cover the hair? Yeah. I mean, nowadays, most women don't. What do I find that very masculine to do? But most folks do allow the masculine to cover their hair for the next morning. We'll get to that. Anyway, there are those out there who believe that even though really it's based upon air, but nonetheless they say there's different circumstances. For example, the Bava Metra. The Magen Avraham there says, Pshuto Kimashmo, really air, but should be referred to Gidol and Hanukkah. It's a light. It goes back to why single girls have the custom of braiding their hair to make sure that you know in a more kind of way to go wet. For the most part, most women don't do that. I think they're showing that there are some women who do braid their hair in a couple ways, even when they're younger, based upon the Bava Metra. Yet the Bava Metra said, but even still, it could really be a din d'oraisa, it could really be erev d'oraisa, so then even the braiding wouldn't help. It'd have to really cover them. But although it is really erev, but there's a gzeiros hakasha teaching me that it's erev, but only for who? Only for a married woman. And therefore you have, you know, what? The Magen Avraham in Hilchos Kriyat Shema, who believes that even though that the din of Das Moshe, Das Yehudis, is based upon Erva, nonetheless there is room for a chiluk between a married woman and a single woman. There's a special gift of Das Moshe, might be developed further, and I think he does educate that point. If not, we'll make a thing on Magen Avraham as well. So, you know, that it could be Das Yehudis, if there's a cup referring to a sota, maybe Das a married woman only has to cover her hair. Maybe because I think the way Moshe Feinstein describes this, and we quote from him, it's the same line, is that since it was the custom for women to cover their hair, therefore it becomes only for married women to cover their hair, the there's a custom is that whoever covers their hair, it becomes heir of course, if married women cover their hair, it becomes heir for them, but only for them and not for single. But that's, I think, the Magen Avraham and the Moshe is along the same line that. But really, the Magen Avraham is a Kriya Shema that really is based upon air, but it's a special there's a custom for married women, not shaking single ones. And therefore, on one hand, this is a nice killing to make over here between the Grah, Rambam, Torah, Shulchan Aruch, which is married women, single ones, versus everybody else. On the other hand, this is a conceptual killing, putting the Magen Avraham on that side with the Rambam, Torah, Shulchan Aruch, because at the end of the day, it's based upon air, and not an independent halacha of a heightened level of sea. Yeah.
So, you only saw the right question, like, with them, you can't.
We didn't get there, you're right. Then you have all sorts of poskim who basically answer a direct question. They say, did the Shulchan Aruch really mean Penuya? In other words, that's crazy. Everyone knows Penuyas don't cover their hair. And there's a group of Achronim, you know, all the notes of Kalim and Shulchan Aruch give different terutzim. They fall into basically two categories. The first, how to reinterpret the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, again, he wasn't the first one to use Flushing. He's really just quoting the Rambam as well. The post can basically have two things, but the way we're not mistaken, New York. On the Shulchan Aruch, we have the Beit Shmuel, then you have the other side, the Chelka, the Koka, well, the Koka says the Beit Shmuel says, Beit Shmuel says, New York. It means Hua, Agurusha, and Tau Mana. It means someone who's not married. The opposite of Beit Shemesh is, here we're calling it Nuya, but of course he's someone who's married. And the Chokhmah Chokhmah said he needs to use the Lashon of Ba'ula. Now, do these people actually, are they disagreeing or agreeing with the self of Machlokhmah Chokhmah Chokhmah Chokhmah? The Pitzkei Truva quotes Achronim both ways. The Pitzkei Truva quotes when the Chokhmah Chokhmah says Ba'ula, really what he means is Gerusha and Almana. In other words, Lav Dafka. And in those who say no, it means Dafka, including a person, woman who was never married, but who was Nivala Biznos. And it's unclear exactly. I think the Rosh Pina Ikre Abai is quoted in the, you know, quoted this as well as As to what it means, you know, if you have a girl who, let's say she goes off to university, she gets drunk at some frat party, wakes up the next morning at the ULA, that's going to be shikhadi. That's who's going to get involved with that. Shikhadi can say rose from here on out. So the ULA is not making the ULA, a lot of people there. But nonetheless, that's who's going to get involved with that. So I was thinking, what's the svara for these type of shikhs over here? Meaning, what's the svara for the Beis Shmuel and the Kalkis Makokok? Assuming, let's say for a second, they disagree. In other words, they agree. We have either one of the sheep to go this way. But what would the svar be for these sheep to go? Okay, let's start with the Beis Shmuel. And the Chalka from the Chalka, the point of fifth mention of himself. What would the svar be for that? Now, it really depends if she's a Jerusha or money. What would you say? Yeah, Zari?
Yes,
hang on. You would say, Jake? Yeah, no?
One day, one stop the Israel, one stop the
more
than one.
To me, it sounds like, yeah, I think
it's okay,
but I think
you
have it anyway, but
it's more out of you. Yeah? I think it sounds like the Aruch HaShulchan. He says that it's based on whether you were married or not. That's kind of what, he didn't say that's it outright, right, but...
How would you understand the halakha of that book and that thing? Yeah? Somewhere in the middle, I wasn't sure which way to go. I mean, I wasn't sure if it's like the Magen Avraham, that there's a cause of, that, you know, for her, that once she becomes a Nesua. In other words, one could argue based upon the Magen Avraham, if Ellie wants to learn the examples of the Beis Shmuel, the Chelka, the Makolka, because it's like you will learn the Beis Shmuel. Or even different, in other words, you know, these group of people over here. Like the Magen Avraham, that there's a cause of teaching me that what? She becomes a, once she comes into Suwa, it requires a heightened level to see it. And that carries on even after, right? I'm sorry, that din of Erva, that binds it in Erva from here on out. And that carries on afterwards. Alternatively, one can learn these guys along this line over here, that there's a heightened level of seers for married women, and that would carry on even after get divorced. Now you saw, I think, the Beis Shmuel, the way the what about the way that the Shmuel Yaakov of the Kalkis Makokok, that only, even if Ula, even if she's younger, what would you say over there? So even a woman who's Nivala, 14 years old, she goes out, and she goes to the frat party, she wakes up, and she realizes she's no longer a Tsuma anymore. If she had to cover her hair, what would that be based upon? What would have to work on that? The Yaakov of that? Okay, so what? What's that chiv come out? What's the sentence? Yeah? Maybe. I thought, in other words, the different cousin of the Arab problem would not apply to her. Although I can see it, but I would say probably it extends out the height level of sneers, and it could be, it's not, I would say, it's not a sneers of what people have to see from you, but it's sneers that you know yourself. I mean, no one knows that you're civil or not. It's not a sneers that people are going to look at from the opening chapter, but rather she's going to kind of have to, what's what I'm looking for? She's going to have to, in other words, she herself, it's like an internal kind of sneers. It's not about people looking at her, because no one knows she's a move up. It's much more about she herself has moved into this category. I'm not sure exactly. Dave, at these times, Bachron kind of go in the middle somewhere. I'm not sure if they work more this way or that way, but people should be aware that that's the people who are the Shulchanar. They bring the Shulchanar back in towards the middle, kind of above the Rum camp, or further over, towards the like the teenager, this camp over here in Akron, that's the high level of. To be honest with you, in terms of the Chokh, the Chokh, and the Beis Shmuel, I think you could learn it either way. So just to kind of summarize where we're at right now, one could argue that the Din of Erva is the source of that motion, that's the Hudis, I think the brothers had the Ram and Torah Shulchanar, the different way above that Rum. One could argue that the high level of Sias, that's what I wanted to say in the Rosh Pinah, Ikve Bais, as well as both the Yeager and other Achronim who learn in that category. What about the Achronim in the middle who learn, you know, depends upon, it depends, you know, if she, Labdaka, maybe the rabbi Gurush and Almana, or maybe even Bula. I'm not sure exactly how to learn the Zachron. I think it could be, there's probably some in the middle to learn either way, and therefore that takes us to, I think, the major, I would call it the major Chakira, as to whether or not that's the Yehudit is a halacha, and marriage or a halacha in Erva, and the two potential nachmanim we saw until now, I have a third potential nachmanim against some halacha on ice, which is a kind of question. One, two, three, four, one.
You were inclined to say that the Balsharko Mechokei wouldn't learn like Erva, and more would learn more like Yehudit.
The way the Shmuz Yaakov was, the Chalke Mechokei, which means Bu'ula, even a Basula Shenibola, yeah, I thought that would probably not be based upon the Xeris HaKasmi. If there's a Xeris HaKasmi, it's probably based upon not via, but more likely, halachic misuin. But to be honest with you, I'm not sure. And therefore, I'm open to learning either way.
But
I'd be more inclined to learn that like the Magen Avraham, but I'd be open to it.
How did you know that Erva was something that people can't see her? How do you know Erva's not from inside? You said that Tzniut is more likely to be inside, like from her. Erva could just as easily be that. Erva could just as easily be a few on her.
Okay, fine. You want to know what? If the Kelsey's Makoko, like the Shabbos Yaakov claims, does dispute the Beish Shmuel, I'm open to either she could be either way. I wouldn't know how to learn the Lumbus either way. I'm open to that again. I was more inclined to learn now like the Xeris HaKasa, but you know, nothing's wrong with it. Yeah.
Two things. One that, like, I also argue with Mike that it would be 3% of the era because if she's a Dibala, I think that she's not married. She's covering her hair. That means everyone knows that she's a Dibala. That's not really Tanua. Like, I don't think that, like, when you walk into Shul, everyone knows. Like, I feel that would be not so Tanua.
I'm not sure exactly what she was saying. The Tzniut is like covering her hair, opposed to, in other words, now she her hair because how long the Arab is, I know what
they
would be to cover her hair. You're right, people know
it. Would be Arab.
But the same question about like knowing it, that's like your second Arab.
But I think that would be Arab, but you know, she's evil, and therefore it's like now her hair because Arab should be covered.
I hear what you're saying. I mean, you're pointing out, like, everyone knows she just slept with someone last night. That's not appropriate. You know, I hear that. You know, that's fine not to see if we're talking about it here. But I hear you, a serious concern. Maybe if you embarrass her, in which case the post would want to be more makeup, another post would come to be halachic to see if you're talking about. We're talking about once her hair is halachic era, well, then you got to cover it for see if it's a halachic era. Although,
do we say nowadays that you don't
want to
have
another hair? We do. But I guess halachic might if they do it in that. Yeah.
According to the Shikyabah,
that's Moshe, the Dindaraita. But that's the ocean, seems like a Dindarabana. Although there is another sheet out there, we'll see in a little bit, we'll get to there, we'll get halacha from Isa, we'll see a little bit of the third sheet out there, because we'll find a time that we'll do this with Nida, though.
Like, all they're showing
we interpret it best possible, and we tell people to do whatever we think halacha is. There are sometimes we find some sugyas where, like, for example, like, well, everyone, the whole world is naked like this, and there's no way everyone's doing it wrong, so if we interpret the Gemara. What's the way you find those type of things? You know, so maybe just kind of like that a little bit. Yeah, maybe quickly, what do you got? Either it's a Xeris HaKasa, like the mug, in other words, you know, like the, you should have her hair covered. I saw that part, but I can't find where I saw it. The following type of breakdown, which is there are certain parts of the woman's body that are objectively Erva. There are certain parts of the woman's body that are objectively not Erva. Then you have the middle category. And some hosting said, the middle category, what do you do with those middle categories? So for married women who are maybe more enticing, people know they're already involved, and they know how to, you know, be involved in the community, et cetera, there's a higher level of it, but a lower level for community. There are people who make such a start that feel like that, which basically, you know, me, I don't know if that there are horns who make that kind of silic as well. Maybe it's to prevent the list of narrowing over a single. Yeah, I think there are horns who make that kind of silic as well. I'm with right here. What? Probably that would not be, in other words, that would not work well for the culture. Correct. But I can see it's far like that. In other words, the reason why there would be a heightened level of sneers, what's as far as a heightened level of sneers? The answer is because you want to further prevent people from violating the institution of the life. Okay. The Gemara, we spoke about it, and I'm based towards the end of the Sugya over there. So take a step back. What's the halacha if a person is in a public area? Someone has to cover how much? Seemingly all of her hair. That's the hood. Let's say she's in a moderately private public area. So the answer is, all she needs to have is derech, is das. Moshe, she doesn't need das the hood. In other words, you know, that's it, was not added on to that in a moderately public area. They didn't add on a din derabanan or something like that, more than that. I guess it's the primary din of air. Then, yeah, what about she's in her chatzah? So what's that like if she's in her chatzah? So the simple pshat in the Gemara, so it's two questions about her chatzah. First of all, is anyone in her chatzah, or is it she's totally alone? You with me? When she's in her chatzah, take a look at Rashi. Derech Mavu, one second, yeah, Rashi, don't see. The Ritva says it the clearest. The Ritva has a Lashon, that when she's in her chatzah, the Lashon is nobody sees her. It's like there's no one there. Could be, or it could just be, very few people see her. That sounds clear to me. And number two is, what's the halacha of in her chatzah? So the pashtus is what? She can walk around with her hair, totally, uncovered, period. And the Ritva says that was there. But there are two other Tosa says as well. Take a look at Tosa in the Masechta and the Elul Chatzer. Tosa says, Perish afilu below kolsa, nami ein bo mishim priyatoshi. She doesn't even have a kolsa. She doesn't even have a small hat on. It's fine. Shim lokin lo hanach devaslav amavinu. In other words, you're not going to let a woman go at home. What is Tosa doing in his Tosa in the Masechta and the Elul Chatzer? He's saying what? He's proving, he's arguing, he's explaining that what? That when she's in her chatzah, she can go around with her hair totally uncovered. So people want to know, why is Tosfos need to explain this? Isn't it Pasha? Is there any other way to read the Gemara? In other words, the way Tosfos and Ritva read the Gemara, she's in her chatzah, she needs nothing, and that's totally fine even look at it. However, there's some disagreement. I mean, here, for example, right? Even though that's really true, even though halachically she doesn't need, nonetheless, it's that means Russia's like a government good. Even though she's in her chatzah, even though she's in the chatzah, she's in her own house, her own backyard, these people close to the rich one, Rashi and others, sure believe she can do whatever she wants. I mean, here, he's like, yeah, she can, but still better she should cover her house. And there's a shita of the Riyadh, which is quoted by the Shoftei Gemara. Believes that even in her own house she should what? She should have that smell, she should have at least a kolsa on her head. And the Riyadh brings a raya from the Yerushalmi that the Jews doesn't really get it, but he gets the Yerushalmi. But he does carry it over to the Babi. The question is how? Because I think the Maram Shif, I'm not saying the one who answered it, indirectly, the Maram Shif is the one who says, what is Tosfos doing? Why does Tosfos have to prove that it's totally mutter in there? Apparently, there's another way to read the Gemara. In other words, the Maram Shif, take a look at the Maram Shif. Can I read it inside? I sat out a little bit. Take a look at the Maram Shif, that iron base over here. The Maharam Shif over here says Tosfos needs to argue his position because one could have really disagreed. And the Riaz, and to the Meiri to a lesser extent, Taka do. The Maharam Shif says it's valid. Take a look at the Maharam Shif in the back of the Gemara. It's different maskal. The toast is different maskal. Ela b'chotzer perish afilu below kalsa. It's a tough Maharam Shif. I said it to Elam a few minutes yesterday. I think we got it. It's different maskal. The toast is different maskal. Ela b'chotzer, perish afilu b'shalo kalsa. It's the third or fourth different maskal on Ayin Beis Habeis. Shalo tem im kein lo anachta v'chuli ratulam rav shita d'be kalsa les le parua rosh d'ilu hava bay lo anachta v'chuli d'ein lo zeh tam. What the heck are you talking about? What's the Maharam Shif saying over here? What's the other way to read the Gemara? That Tosfos is trying to exclude or to preclude, if the Maharam Shif says may exist, then may even be the read for the Riaz, you know, to make the Yerushalmi the Babli read the same way opposed to disagree. What's the Maharam Shif doing here differently in the words of the Gemara? In other words, again, just to review the structure of the Gemara. The Gemara quoted Rav Asi, I'm a Rav Yochanan Din, which is Kolsa ain't Bamishim Parua Rosh. Kolsa does not need. Sorry. If it's Kolsa, it's not Parua Rosh. The Gemara says, where can that be? If it's Bachatzer, well, that's the other, of course it's Parua Rosh. Rather, maybe it's the Ella Bechotzer. So the Gemara says, "In Cain, lo hanachta bas Yisrael, lo hanachta bas Avinu, she yoshev tachas bala." The simple way we read that is what's the way we read that Gemara until now? Why can it not be Bechotzer? Because that would indicate that you need Kolsa in your chutzner, and less than kolsa would be a problem. That's crazy. In other words, you're not going to let Jewish girls be at home by themselves without their hair covered. That's lo yitachen. That's lo yala ladas. That's why Tosfos reads it. It was below kolsa nami ein bo mishem priyas rosh, because otherwise it would be a problem. How could you read this Gemara saying the way Maharam Shif opens it, which is im lo hanach the blood labas avnavi? I'm sorry, that chutzner. If it's in your chutzner, it's a problem even, what's it called? No. Even if you're not, if it has nothing on your head. You know what it was now? I understand what Tosfos is doing. I'm trying to figure out, like, what was the other way to learn? What? In the chutzner and the mavoi, you need to, in other words, that's where you can have a kolsa, but not a parua rosh. So I think I think the Riaz wants to read that even in your own chutzner, you can't be walking around with no hair covering. You need at least a kolsa. How does that fit into this Gemara? Elon, how do you want to read? How do you read this?
The way you do it, the advice water is that the word in your kolsa is saying, Shito, if you're allowed to be a kolsa. If you're trying to be a Kiddush, the kolsa, for sure you're allowed to be a kolsa. It's partial. Them, but obviously, without anything, they can say it's more of a for sure.
Yeah. In other words, In other words, Rav Asi, Rav Yehuda says kolsa is not a problem of parua rosh. That can't be in a parvu place in a shuk because
that's. And if you're talking about a kosher,
For sure.
It's pashut. It's pashut. It's pashut that it's mutter. What is his? In other words, the point is, yeah, the point is that we're actually, where Rav Yochanan is definitely making a chiddush. So that a kol says mutter, it can't be referring to Rav Shmuel Harabi because that's not true, and it can't be referring to your backyard because it's pashut that. Pashat that it's mudra to go with a kolsa. That doesn't necessarily mean that if you have less than a kolsa, it's mudra. It doesn't make any comment about that. Or in other words, according to the sheet of the Riyadh, there's really two major areas. There is the public star there, and then there's everything else. In any event, that's in terms of how to read this Gemara. There's an analogy between the Ritva on one hand and the Riyadh on the other hand. There is somewhere between. What's behind this analogy? Why would a woman be allowed to show if they walk around her own chutzner? Totally without her hair uncovered, completely covered with a rosh, or potentially not? What might that depend upon?
Yeah, I'm sorry, what am I saying?
Yeah, maybe. Why?
If there's no hair on your chutzner,
I thought the other way around. I thought if it's erva, if it's objectively erva, people can't see. If it's objectively erva, it doesn't matter if you're in your house or you're not in your house. Even if she's your own wife, you can't take kriyashma at that point in time. In other words, you can look at your wife's erva, but that's not a kriyashma. You know, and therefore, if it's objectively erva, even in your own house, it would be a problem to see it. However, if it's just a heightened level of tzias, I can go either way. But l'chor, the svar for the riyaz is that there's a heightened level of tzias, even in your own house, you shouldn't be totally have her hair uncovered. In any event, those potentially, this hakir we opened up as to whether or not that uses that motion depending upon erev or an independent halacha of yoter tznius. The first relevant to this hakir may be the nashi. The second one may be what point does she have to cover her hair? And the third one is when she's in her backyard, when she's in her own hometown, when she's in her own chatera, does she have to cover her hair or not? If it's erev, the answer is as long as someone's there, she has to. However, if it's a heightened level of tzias, it's debatable. One can say, when she's in her own house, we lower the level of tzias. It's not as, promiscuous, I guess. It's not as promiscuous as she's in her own house. If she's in her own house, she's in the kitchen, she's doing her thing, so that's not, just because her hair is uncovered. Again, if it's objective air belt, we'll call this very little room for a chill. But if it's a heightened level of tzias, so it's when she goes out, she should be more comfortable in her own house. There's room to make exceptions. And therefore, in other words, the Riyadh has two assumptions. Number one is that it's not objective erva, but rather it's yoter tznius. And number two is that this level of tznius is what's it called? Is needed even in her own house. It's needed even in her own house. Post in the Ritva, not sure which one they would argue on. But either they could argue that Arab is a known threat, or they could say high level fit, but needed in her own house, and not needed in her own house, and the Meiri as well. In any event, this could be enough. I mean, it might not be, because they both may hold the other fit, but definitely the Riyadh is going to hold a high level of fit. Let's take around the questions. I'll tell you guys a little bit of halakha l'maisa, what the post gets into say. Yeah.
What is the Riyadh mean for Arab? Because in Arab, then, no matter what,
right, therefore, even if you're in your own I'm sorry. The Riyadh is going to believe that it's error. The Riyadh is going to believe it's error. Why? Because it's objectively usher and one cannot see it, no matter where she is. But if you want to be makeup in your own house, like Post and Ritva want to do, but be makeup in your own house, like Post and Ritva want to do, and say she doesn't have to have, in her own house, anything. I should say a little better. I'm going to sharpen it. Come back to me. Just throw me again. I'll say a little better. The Riyadh who believes she has to have her hair covered in her own house is probably based upon their militancy. Other Rishonim who believe that that in her own house she can have her hair uncovered is probably because it's a heightened level of sneers, and that heightened level is not necessary. And maybe that's something to make the proposal for the ritual. I'm not, you follow that? Might be out there. I'm not 100% convinced of it, because if there is one himself who points out that maybe in her own house, no one sees it at all. In other words, the machlokas may be not a lumbish machlokas, because there's no machlokas in halakha. It could be the rich would also agree that when no one's looking at you in your own house, you don't have the cover. So when someone comes into your house, you have the cover, and you would agree to the riyad in terms of that. Machlokas is just a technical machlokas, how to interpret the Gemara of in your chatzim. But it could be the rich even agrees with halakha. And therefore, again, the riyad who argues that women must cover their own hair in their own house, it's because A, erva, and B, in their own house, who may come in. The Ritva can argue one of two ways. The halachic argument, which is also argue either through a high level of sin, that's no longer necessary, or they can argue, in a inami, it is erva, but chatzir is referring to a case where no one comes into your house, and therefore it's not really needed. In any event, therefore, this machlokas may or may not even be a lumbisha machlokas, but if it is a lumbisha machlokas, it may depend upon what we said, this major hakira, as to whether or not that is predicated on erev or not. Take a quick round of questions. Oh, we've lost a matter of time. How many goes to halacha lemaisa? That's the question that goes. I'll stick around. At what point in time halacha lemaisa the women start covering their hair? We saw four or five different sheets of poskim. Some say mamish from the time she's bas mitzvah. We don't pass on that. Some say from the time from bia, potentially the from kolkav. We don't pass on that. Some say from erisin or kivega. We don't pass on that. We pass in A, you sue it, and B, the next morning, after Bia. In other words, after the suin, which is when she walked out of the chuppah, she comes out of the yichadu, the whole wedding, she doesn't have to cover her hair, most close to the nagel, for that. In terms of in her own house, does she have to cover her hair in her own house? If I'm not mistaken, many poskim out there write, as long as she's in her own house, she doesn't have to cover her hair. More poskim, the majority of poskim, I should say, it's some poskim. Majority of folks believe even in her own house she should cover all her hair. That is the standard practice most Orthodox women. Although, if not mistaken, Ryan looks at his wife in her own house. When she gets home, she takes off her hair and she, you know, based upon this chasera board, she's in her own house. She feels comfortable, you know, having her hair uncovered with guests and people over. But the standard shot is that most women cover their hair, even in their own house. And that's my encouragement. People do, but that's the standard thing. Yeah.
Is that like because people are gonna come in?
I'm saying if people are in, no. In other words, if people are not, if no one's coming in, your house is empty, you have no guests. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying if you have guests, a woman's in her own house with several guests, does she have to cover her hair? The majority of posts think yes. The minority of posts think no, because it's cut day. Right? Look, I think it's Nagel on that kula, and his wife doesn't cover her hair in her own house, it's not a
statement.
Once she gets in the house.
No, I'm saying, but if
other women?
No, if you're mocking, you say, you don't want them in the house.
Only if guests do. In other words, there's no real halachic sheikhs that say otherwise. There's like a Gemara Yoma that talks about some of the lady who, you know, some people hair, even the walls didn't see her hair covering. But that's bonus and heightened levels of fastidious that most women, I don't know,
there's just like
yeah, the husband and kids have to have halachic mice. So, yeah. Usually no. Yeah. That type of thing, yeah. In other words, you know, the standard psalm is like her siblings, her parents, not your parents, her parents, and makeup. How much hair can a woman leave out? So, they're posting out there, which is the brewer, the Chassam Sofer, based upon his love, they should have no hair left out at all. So, cover your hair, it means all every last strand. The Rashba has a statement which is debated what he means. The Rashba says that the hairs that fly out don't have to be covered. That's where the Ramah quotes it, and therefore, we won't cover them hair, a couple hairs come out this way, a couple hairs come out that way, so that's not the end of the world. And there are Ramah passages like that, Rashba. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, how can it be that there's no shear? There needs to be a shear. It can't just be that there's no shear. So what's the shear? He said, the tefach. This much hair can be out. The tefach, for that's what you find. Many women out there who rely on this kula, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, very well accepted kula. Said, you know, with Moshe, a very big thing, the whole world machmer. They should have no hair sticking out, a few strands sticking out, but have a whole tefach and Moshe Ben Nagel. But Nemtzah responded, all those other postgame, they're minor leaders. But Moshe, he's a major leader. He's a real, he's totally confident, relying on Moshe Feinstein, he was supposed to Kadar. Then the person who said this, he went on to continue to talk to how great Moshe was, and he said, the Shira on the internet. I looked at the Shira, he told the story. I said, every time someone had an order back, the Prophet said, Moshe, thank you on the phone, you can have a big dish up, stay in the whole conversation. Because Moshe says, you don't have to worry. In any event, that's why my wife and other people out there, my wife has, I think, they say, how much is a tapak? They say, it's two fingers worth, like, you know, that comes out from under the scarf or under the hat. Two fingers worth, either in the front, people wear, like, you know, one of these, what's it called, things where a little bit of the front sticks out, or people have a little bit of the back sticking out. If it's under a tapak, people are, posting are made. One of the last major shaylos about a shaytel, the posting is split, Rav Adja says, if it's us, or Rav Eliyashu, if it's us, or this is Mamish Erev, and type of women wear shaytel, and Moshe finds it's nekel, and the standard sap is the nekel. Some posting think it can be a shaytel, even of her own hair, although for the most part, that's some posting are not are nekel, the most posting that they're not, and I would tell you as much as possible, again, your wife should be helping, you know, speaking to her about the shaylos, not just you, but I would tell people as much as possible. As long as it's in the realm of, you know, sap, these sensitivities in terms of the passion in general, specifically in here, it's not enjoyable to cover your head the rest of your life, especially for women who, you know, some girls are. It's a very difficult time, it's a very difficult thing. To find coolness for women is an important thing. It's a very well accepted cool of emotion, both the tapak thing, as well as the pay of the what you call the shekel thing, and therefore I encourage as much as possible one should be made with those 2 days of emotion. Feel free if your wife doesn't want to cover all her, she wants to let that out, don't give her tough time. If she wants to wear a shaykh, don't give her tough time. You know, the thing is, my wife wears a shaykh a lot less, but the Israelis are much more masculine than not to wear a shaykh. Okay, if she wants to do that, I have no problem. I told her that she's more than one half or whatever. Halacha l'maaseh, what about a Gerusha and Almana? So I think with Moshe, as an important thing, says that most posts of Gerusha and Almana try to cover their hair. But it's very difficult to get renowned, it's very difficult to find a job. Women have to cover hair, especially if you don't want to wear a wig. So what do you do about covering your hair and finding a job? So Moshe says that the 2 days in Rashi as to whether or not it's a mitzvah sasei or a lav, because the lav is nothing to talk about. If it's a mitzvah sasei, so Moshe thought that it may only be a mitzvah sasei for an Asian sister, but for Gerusha and for an Almana, it's a mitzvah sasei and a mitzvah sasei to Rabbana. Other posts disagree, one of them disagrees. But Moshe felt that for Gerusha and Almana, for the Rabbanon and Hashas HaKach, Moshe Bidekel, for Gerusha and Almana, she needs to get married. Sometimes that situation, a 20-year-old girl, she's divorced now. She's married 19, she finds out the guy she's married is a jerk, and says that she's a jerk, I'm clear which one. They both point the finger at the other, you know. I'm saying she's 22, she's still, you know, you're going to make her walk around with a shaker, walk around with a haircut, and very, very difficult. So they call those type of shaylos very often with Gerusha and Almana to help them get married again. But help them make a pronounce, etc. That's just the Asian fish, it's really not looking for heads for what to go for that type of thing. One or two, just last things, the Malamed Tzuchot. There's an article written by Rabbi Mike, Rabbi Bruin, very partial Rabbi Atlanta. He put together about 80 pages worth, in the most recent tradition article, and he goes through a lot of the halachic elements of the study of covering, women covering their hair. The Gemara, they go to the Grisha, they go to the Achronim. And basically, what he wants to do is be Malamed Tzchus for women who didn't cover their hair. It became very famous that a Salvation wife never covered her hair. At a point in time, you know, other very cultural Rosh Hashimah's wife didn't cover their hair. People are much less open about talking about which other Rosh Hashimah's wife. For a while, Rosh Hashimah didn't cover her hair. Think Moshe Feinstein's wife for a while didn't cover her hair. I think other Gedolei Yisrael as well. Numerous Litvish Gedolei Yisrael wives didn't cover their hair. People are, for some reason, they like to point out a Salvation wife, but other women, you know, less, more quiet about. Even here, if I would tell you who they were, you'd be flabbergasted, but I'm not going to tell you. For some reason, the Rav's wife is the one that became much more famous about it. In any event, he says, for all these Gedolim's wives, as well as for other people out there, is there any, you know, makom to be made of? How many Orthodox women do you know keep Shabbos? They're putting good women, they keep young, they invite over guests, they do chesed, they wear skirts, they dress tanua, they don't cover their hair. Surprising. They shall love all the folks who've been told now. Immediately required. This is not a psak, this is a liquid schuss. Is there a difference? Not passing. This is not a psak. Women should cover their hair. The Malamed Schuss. So the answer is the salvation. Why doesn't the wife cover her hair? So in two different recordings of which you get. The Shechter will respond. We'll tell you that the Rebbe will respond. And the other thing, my wife's doing something wrong. I don't have to divorce her. Sometimes I speak Lashon Hara. She doesn't have to divorce me. checks in and say, the Rav's wife was rebellious. She didn't want to cut her hair, and she made a mistake. Okay, she did something wrong. If you guys have listened, we have a different presentation. I heard this from three or four people with different presentations about Shechter, and I heard from Shechter himself. I heard from three or four people with different presentations that Rav had from Shechter at the Rav's wife. Supposedly, the way, not mistaken, the way Rav Aaron quotes it, I don't know if it's right, the way Rav Aaron quotes it is that in terms of the, assuming the two definitions, the Erva issue, so there's an Aruch HaShulchan that writes, Bizman Hazeh, we know we can now say Kriyat Shema next to women who have their hair uncovered. You're at the Kotel, there's a woman across the thing with her hair uncovered, you see her. You're davening in, you know, wherever you are, and the woman with hair uncovered. That's the Aruch HaShulchan, the whole thing's made on nowadays, because these women are no longer tanua, because women are no longer covering their hair. At the end of the day, since it's so common to find women with uncovered hair, it's no longer Erva. And therefore, that takes care of the potential Erva issue. And assuming that, that's motion, that's, it's a different issue. So if I'm not mistaken, also, I think that the Soloveitchik found Poskin, and for sure by Breud, as in his tremendous, tremendous essay, many Poskin who believe that once it's no longer needed, once it's no longer the common thing to do, at the end of the day, it's no longer Erva, it's no longer that motion, no longer that Yehudit, at the end of the day, he himself doesn't Poskin that it's mother. He passes the Torah. It could be Malamed Tzchus, and all the women out there didn't cover their hair. Now, just throw out one more thing, which is a very famous practice that you should be aware of. Very women often women cover their hair and have all sorts of hair coming out the side. I'm not talking about a hat ball, which is like a half wig coming out the side. See what a hat ball is? Mm-hmm. It's like a wig. It's like a wig from the side down. It looks like it's hair. But you put a hat on top. Women, a lot of women have a lot more than a tap coming out the sides of their hair. You look around. Women cover their hair. They have 6-7 inches coming out. So again, halachically, I don't think that's what I haven't stopped posting to discuss it, but I was thinking to myself, maybe one could, I'm sorry, I apologize. Wait, Rabbi Breud, I apologize.
Again, sorry. Rabbi Breud's heavy, the way that the first one goes about to do it, is that in terms of the Arab, we have the Arab Shulchan, which is not as dead, no longer Arab. And number two is there's an exib, there's given the Shulchan, there's something the Shulchan, right? That the Parua Rosh thing, it's not like either of the days in Rashi. It's not like it's a lab if you don't. It's not the mitzvah of faith you do. The fact is, for us, Rosh Hashanah, but in those days, that was the kind of practice. What women would do was they would cover their hair. So nowadays, women no longer cover their hair. So no longer do women have to. And therefore, the air of an issue, assuming it's a different one, taken care of by the Aruch HaShulchan, and the that motion, that this issue, assuming it's a different one, taken care of by this mitzvah. And that potentially could be the heter that the Salvation's wife has in the chapter as well, she really did have that. That's where I was going with it. Because none of that people, have hats and all sorts of, scarves, things on their head, but the Salvation's hair hanging out is the root of such a heter. I was thinking to myself, maybe if they would learn as follows, maybe there would be more of the Malamed Tzchus as well. In terms of that motion, it is right, that one, then for sure okay. For sure they're okay. Like it's a hat, it's a bowl, it's a kalsa. They couldn't see those white boilies that you get in there for sure. But not like the ash, that was it. It couldn't be that already, that motion. In terms of that, you wouldn't. There could be that motion. I didn't know that motion. May not be the Rabbana. We thought it was the Rabbana, but. Maybe it's only a minhag, and if it's a minhag, you could be the minhag. Well, this man has that, because of the Arabic thing, like the Aruch HaShulchan, and it could be, Malamed Tzchus for all sorts of wonderful women who seem to be doing Shalokia Halacha. Yes, we're checking there, doing Shalokia Halacha. Yes, maybe we definitely encourage them to do the right thing, that definitely seems to be the thing that people should be doing. But it could be both, but not covering hair at all. So I agree with Malamed Tzchus for the article. As well as potentially being a lot of close for all the women in many of our communities who have a lot more hair now than a tefa. So it could be there's one to be a lot of close for. And again, at the end of the day, I think the value most definitely stock is the most nice is the tefa. And Mir said, oh, good, that takes care of this. Mir Hashem will have shear next week.